Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And it's the midweek show of Fiber Talk Wednesday. We get together, just the two of us. Christine, struggling still again with the health, so the voice is kind of almost there.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Keep having those relapses. It's not good. Not good.
It's, yeah, at this point, I it might be some kind of an allergy thing, so you will just have to deal with my low, sultry voice or something like that. I don't know.
That's how we're going to describe it. Low and sultry, yes. All right.
That's right. That's right.
Yep. So Mary Corbett with 1T beat me to it today. I'd been reading a couple things about stitchers wanting to help people, stitching people in the Houston area with supplies. And Mary Corbett did a thing this morning where basically this is not the time for that. That's way down the road where you get to send threads and canvases and those kinds of things to stitchers in the Houston area, that this is not that time. Boy, I watched a little news here before we recorded. That is just really tragic. I really feel bad for all those people struggling down there to just get out of the water. And
Yeah. You and I actually, Gary, have some common friends that are from the Houston area. So
yeah,
I've been in touch with them a lot, and I have a sister who lives there. So all of them are okay, but really pretty much by the skin of their teeth. So there will be time for us to do stuff for sure.
Right. Yeah, I went through, we're Lutheran, and went through a little training with the Lutheran Church for disaster relief and help, their program. And there's this initial stage where this is just for professionals, just people who can go in and rescue, and everybody else just needs to stay out. And then you get the thing under control, and here it's going to be many days before that water recedes. And then other people can start coming in, because that's what you're seeing all over the country, is people are starting to collect supplies to prepare to move them down there as soon as they're able to, as soon as the all clear is given.
Yeah.
And then you know, water and toothpaste and all the, you know, clothes. I've seen several shots of just stacks and stacks of clothes, because, you know, that's what's needed. And then there's that phase. And then after that is when, sometime after that then is when we can send threads and canvases. But right now those people, I'm quite sure, are just not concerned about whether their canvas is in any shape to stitch. It's,
yes,
yeah. So yeah, Mary wrote a little thing about that this morning, that this is just not the time. And, I had it on the list, so I bring it up. But, that's really, really sad down there. And a lot, but it's a lot of water. Ugh.
Yeah.
So that, just sit tight, folks. Sit tight. Give to proper charities that are legitimate. You know, give money, give supplies. That's where you can make a difference right now, because that's what people need, are the basics. So help supply those. That's what's important. So, yep. Let's see. We had we're going to have our Arlene moment. We got an Arlene moment here right out of the gate. Arlene had probably one of the best weeks I think you can have as a stitcher.
I think so.
Yeah. She, on Needlepoint Nation, we followed for many, many months. Every couple of weeks, she would post. It was this 40-count silk gauze piece that she was working on. And I should have practiced this. Spanish Savonari? Savonari? By Natalia Frank. And it's a 40-count silk gauze piece, a single-strand DMC floss. Took her forever. Took her forever. She finished it. Well, she entered it in the American Needlepoint Guild exhibition the seminar is going on this past weekend and this week.
Yeah.
And she entered it, and she's not there. She's getting ready for the school year. And a first place, a judge's choice, and a president's award. So three awards for this one piece. And, wow, what a day when she found out that the Needlepoint Nation, the thread of congratulatory and likes and other reactions.
Yeah. And yes. That, I think, was my favorite part, was just that warming thing where, you know, everybody just comes together and, you know, gave her congratulations and everything on. It's that community part. That's my favorite part of this all.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine 40 count canvas. Or it's just, that's mind boggling. I'm doing a piece that's 28 and 40 would just, I think I would, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Patience. Yep. Patience.
She worked at it quite a bit. Well, and as luck would have it, our Sunday guest is Arlene. She'll be with us Sunday. And we did talk about the process of doing that piece, and we recorded it before she knew that she got the awards. So We were talking about it, just that she had entered it and talked. So that's coming up Sunday. Conversation Arlene and I had. Christine couldn't do it. The voice was non-existent. So right. Arlene and I had
not having a lot of conversations.
So it'll be the two of us. But we had a great talk about stitching. And we did talk about her winning piece, so you get to hear that Sunday. But huge congratulations to Arlene. And then I haven't looked particularly hard, but I know that the American Needlepoint Guild tends to hold announcement or showing of the winners until the next issue of the Needlepointers, because then they have a big spread in there of all the winners. But there was another one. Karen Geringer posted that she took first place in original design at the Needlepoint Guild seminar for her piece Lip Service. And wow, that's neat. It's red, kind of swirled, stretched.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful piece. Yeah, red with some gold, looks like gold chain like stitching on it, and really an impressive thing. I'd be curious to know more about that, but that was one that I picked up that she announced that she had won it. That's got to be a huge thrill to get any kind of an award at whether it's the Embroidery Guild of America or American Needlepoint Guild, whatever it is, to get an award like that, knowing the quality of stitching that goes on right. All over the world. That's wow.
It's highly competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I gotta believe, like Arlene, she was in, teacher meetings all day. And I imagine she checking her phone every 5 minutes. Somebody tell me what happened with my piece. So, and I have a picture that on the page. Actually, I put up a picture of both of them, for this podcast, so you can see. But Arlene's is just, it's so delicate, it's so beautiful, it really is very nice. So that was yay for Arlene. And then somebody said to me, you know, that we haven't been talking about what we're stitching, and I guess we haven't. We've been in and out and monkeying around here trying to do things when you could talk and not things when you can't talk. We hadn't really talked about it. So, and you were working on Debbie Rowley's piece, but now you set that aside, right?
No, not really. So I'm working, so I'm going to really try here. I'm working on the Debbie Rowley Diamond Delight 10, which is the light blue piece, and it's almost finished. Actually, I'd set it aside just for a moment. Actually, just because I had run out of a couple of threads and needed to order some. So I just got those back in yesterday, so I'll be picking it up. But in the interim, I've kind of been noodling around with a bunch of other things. So, I have not done any sort of free embroidery since I was a child. So, and by that I mean, like crewel or embroidery or, you know, surface embroidery, things like that, things that are not counted canvas. So I bought a design that's called Hair in a Meadow, and it's by a company called Tapestry. And I forget offhand, I'll find out later, the designer. But essentially it's a crewel piece on linen, and it's basically just like any other crewel piece. So it's outlines on just fabric, and then you follow a chart that tells you to use, you know, do this stitch in along these lines with this color. So I picked that up, just again, just to, cause I like the piece and I hadn't done anything like that before. So in the little, you know, week or so that the Debbie piece has been sitting fallow, I started working on that and it's so much fun. I didn't think I would like crewel at all. I'm not sure why really. I think it just maybe the texture of the threads and things, but it's really fun and it goes together so quickly, you know, so much more quickly than a counted piece, and totally different stitch techniques, right? So instead of, yeah, it's just a very different stitches. So, and this piece, I think I counted had like, maybe it had between 30 and 35 different stitches in it. So I'm going way back to learn, you know, or relearn or re-remember, you know, lazy daisy stitches and things like this that I haven't done since I was six. But I'm having a blast with that piece. It's really enjoyable. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Well, it looks pretty neat. You were doing some serious bullion knotting to make a flower. That really looked nice. That came out nice, yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny. So with almost all of them, you know, you start in the middle and you work way out, or you start on one side and move over. And it's great because, again, this is going to be one of those, this is the first pieces kind of piece, because, you know, that flower, it starts in the middle and it's kind of wonky. And by the outer petals, you could see, all right, I've kind of got this. I've figured it out. You know, you figure the little tricks to, you know, where do you put your finger to keep the tension and how much tension to keep while you're working the stitch and, you know, so that it doesn't completely unravel. So the first, you know, the first one that I laid down that came out smooth and there weren't any weird loops or anything, I was quite happy about that. So, but with each of the different types of stitch, you can see, oh, you know, if I look anyway, I can see, oh, I started there because these are not very perfect at all. And then towards the end of it, you could see I, you know, catch a stride. So it's neat. So it's a neat learning piece for me. And it's just fun because it's quick. You cover a lot of surface in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's a neat looking piece, and it's on darker ground cloth, too.
It's navy. It's dark navy.
Yeah.
So, it's neat. Yeah. So I'll post some more pictures of that. I've been doing a few things on Instagram. So again, I'll put the pictures up. I'm not shy about that, but you'll see, you know, all right, this doesn't look so great, but you know, then there's other parts of it that do. And really at that, it's just a visual demonstration of, this is what it's like to learn something. You know, you don't do it perfectly when you start.
Yep.
So, you know, I run into that with my son actually sometimes. You know, he is 14. So he'll say, I don't want to do this because I don't know how to do it. And I said, well, exactly. You're not supposed to know how to do it before you do it. And then you get to the end of it and you do know how to do it. So good for you. That's normal that you don't know how to do it before you start. But don't let that ever stop you from doing something, because that's kind of how you're supposed to do it. If you were able to do everything perfectly the first time, then it would get kind of boring, wouldn't it?
I would think so, yeah.
You never have to work at anything, and you never get to see progress. So,
right.
This is my watch me learn and oops and, you know, not do it too great and not tear them out, you know. So that's what this will be. Looking forward to it. So that's it. So I'm flipping back between that and the Debbie Rowley piece pretty much.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty piece. Yeah, I'm anxious to see the finished piece. That one flower you did with the bullion knots, that actually, even though a little wonky at the beginning, it really came out and looked pretty nice, I thought. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of variegated threads in it, and that just adds a tremendous amount of texture to the piece, because you'll be stitching a bouquet of flowers, and each one is a different color, not because you're changing threads, but because the thread itself is changing.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see, because you don't really know what it's going to look like before you start. So.
Right. Yep. Let's see. I am working. Well, I was working on. I'm participating in the class with Orna Willis.
Yes.
Come design with me. Okay. And I got the center section all done, and then I realized I needed to finish up at least one of the Christmas stockings for our grandson, for one of our grandsons, so I stopped. But part of why I stopped is once you finish the center section, there's the, I call them biscuits, but there are these three on each side, so 12 of these shapes that are done with number five pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're done, they're neat. But I struggled with them because they have openings where krynek thread goes on the edges and then at points in the center of these things. They look like, to me, they look like little biscuits. And and so I've struggled finding a pattern for stitching them because it's just effectively satin stitch. I mean, it's just straight stitches over three or five threads. And I struggled with them because I could not find a pattern for how it was put together. And actually, I didn't mind putting that down because I was just fighting with them all the time. And fighting with them in that I was having to look at the chart with every single stitch to, you know, back and forth. And it really was getting tedious and old. I just couldn't get a rhythm going. And so I put it down and I worked on the stocking. Well, this week, we're out in Phoenix. We have friends who have a house and they've let us use it. So we're out here working and enjoying 110 degree heat every day. And so I brought the Orna Willis thing with me, determined to finish these biscuits. And I've got one more left. But what I finally figured it out, I got about half of them done, and I finally figured it out that for this to work with me, I split it down the middle. So I did one side from bottom and worked my way up to the top and then worked my way across the top and then came back down the bottom. So if I split it down the middle, then the shape made sense to me and I was able to stitch without looking at the chart for every single, you know, I mean, literally every single stitch to make sure I didn't do the wrong one, you know. And so now I'm down to the last one. And I'll be really, really glad to have that done because then I can move on to some of the other stitches that are just going to, you'll be able to just stitch.
And, come quickly, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and other people are way ahead of me on the design. And it really is lots of neat things coming up and I want to get to them, but I had to get these biscuits in before I could do any more. So I was really glad to, tonight I'll finish the last one and then I can move on to something else. But, it's just weird how if I can find a pattern, you know, and come to understand the piece, then it can move right along. But when I'm doing every stitch and then looking and every stitch and looking, it was driving me nuts. So got past that. So that's what I'm working on. And then out here in Phoenix, we were out this past weekend, and I forget what I posted somewhere. Anyway, I got a message from Robert Harris that I should come over to the Attucks Summer School event on Sunday. And I knew it was going on this past weekend, but you know, I'm not a paying customer, so I didn't feel it would be at all appropriate. Well, he invited me, so I went over. Marg and I went over on Sunday to the hotel where they were doing it, and went and got to see a little bit, and I got to say hi to the crowd and meet.
They had
they had four or five designers there, four designers I think from the area, and got to meet Robert Harris, and he's talented, and I walked in, and I expected to see a lot of stitching, and of course I expected to see nothing but samplers. Mm-hmm. when I walked in, they're all painting frames. I couldn't believe it.
Painting frames.
Yep. That was one of the classes. That was the Sunday class.
Oh, was, interesting.
Yeah. They were each given a frame that I think had already been, the base layers had been put down, and then they were taught different techniques for putting accents on it. Like one lady I saw, she just took the side of her finger and put paint on that and just made a kind of a stripe pattern all the way around. And so everybody was doing, you know, with sponges and all kinds of cloths and stuff to get different textures on these frames. So the last class of the attic summer school was fixing up a frame, which I thought was great
right,
fun.
Right, your own.
Yeah.
That is fun.
Yeah. They said, see, people got there Thursday, but most people got there Friday. And Friday night, I think they had a class. I'm not going to have this all right, but I think they had a class. Then Saturday, they had three classes. And then I'm pretty sure it was Saturday night was a show and tell thing. And then Sunday was this painting class. And then we were there, and they were wrapping up around noon. People were starting to head out to go home wherever they needed to go. But, yeah, it looked like it's tough to get into that thing. Every time I see it get announced within a short period, it's sold out. But it looks like it's quite a weekend of a variety of needlework things and of course painting a frame. But one lady said, you know, this looked really tough. I didn't know. And she said, then once they showed, she says, you get your fingers wet and get some paint out. And she said, it's really not that tough. And she had a real nice looking frame. And you could tell it was one of those where, hey, this isn't so bad. I could do this again. And,
Yeah.
So that's neat. So that's, I know that's every summer, and it must be, I'm going to guess it's always in August, but, the best way to find out about that is, to get on the mailing list at the attic and get the newsletter, because that's where you really get the information about what's going on with the attic.
The newsletter. Yeah, I love their newsletter too.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's just fun to look at and drool over. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So, and then on display was a sampler that is going to be released here in the next week or so. So I saw a picture a couple weeks ago, and then I saw the real thing, and we'll talk about it next week when we can. But once again, the real thing has nothing to do with the picture. The real thing is really beautiful. So it's an antique reproduction sampler, and that's all I'm comfortable saying. So I think it's on the 2nd that this will be introduced by the people who did the reproduction. So we'll look for that. And a second, that's next Wednesday, yeah. I think. So maybe we can talk about it then. We'll see. But, I got to see the real deal. And, yeah, it's pretty nice. Pretty nice. So, yep. So that was the attic summer school. Boy, that's tempting. But now you start to see them stack up. The needlepoint mystery retreat we talked about a couple weeks ago. And the summer school,
right.
I mean, there's all kinds of them. And,
well, and then the ANG that we were just talking about,
right.
that Arlene's piece was at, you know, that's also appealing.
Yep.
We're going to have to strategize our 2018, I think.
Yep. Have to make a couple trips, I think. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so. I think so.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm missing that. You know, in our other hobby, we spent quite a bit of time traveling, the both of us teaching classes, and one of the benefits of that was that we both got to see a lot of different events and see a lot of people and talk to people who were listeners. So I'm looking forward to getting to that stage of this where we can do that.
Yes.
And start, but I think that, you know, visiting these shows and events like that is going to be key.
Yep. Yeah, met several people who are listening to us, and one, it was three or four ladies, I think, had us on their entire trip to Phoenix. So,
oh.
So that's great. Yeah,
I'm
like
so
that.
Glad to
that's
hear fun. That.
Yeah. So, that was so that's a good one to look for. And then you posted. I was going to ask you before we started doing this. You posted. You bought yourself an old book. Tell me about that book.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Let me see if I have it. It's right in front of me. So I was in Pennsylvania a few weeks ago, and in an area that just had a lot of, like little antique stores and, you know, garage sale-y kind of, you know, stores like that. So I was going through just in one town, there's like four or five of them. So I figured we'd just go kind of check them out. And this was just a find, just completely out of the blue. And it is the Encyclopedia of Needlework by Teresa Dilmont. And I picked it up not knowing what it was. And it's a tiny little book. It's probably about 5 by 6 inches. But 700 pages, I want to say, something
Holy
like
smokes.
That. It's a pretty, before I say that, I should actually look. No, it's 800 pages. and it's an old book. It was originally published in the 1890s, I believe. And this edition, best that I was able to trace, is probably from the 1930s or 40s. So, and it was in excellent shape and it was really inexpensive. So I really didn't know what it was. I just looked at it and said, wow, this is a really good resource, aside from being, you know, kind of a cool old book, which I like. It is literally a Bible of stitches. It's all different kinds of stitchery, from crochet to knitting to macrame to surface embroidery.
Macrame.
It's needle lace. It is everything. And it's all techniques and stitches. So, you know, if you want to look up how to do, I mean, if I just randomly flip open, randomly flip open to needle lace, and it will show you, and it's illustrated copiously. So every stitch that you're going to do, there's multiple illustrations to show you how to do it. So it's really a useful book. It's not just a, you know, this is nice to have. So needle lace, they're doing wheels, they're doing larger wheels, how to do insertions with pyramids, with buttonhole squares. It really is. And so since I got it, you know, I spent a bit of time just kind of flipping through it and admiring it and just learning things. But then there have been a few times where I was doing a stitch and it wasn't completely clear what I was supposed to do, and I'm able to pick this up and, you know, oh, I don't remember how to do that. Let me see if the book has it. And it does. So it's really awesome. So if anybody, I think that you might be able to see at least some of it online. I think there are some libraries, and Mary Corbett probably would know where to find it. But if you have the opportunity, even just to poke through it online a little bit, it's worth it just to see.
Who's the author?
I think that's really... let me open it up. Therese de Dillmont, and it's D-I-L-L-M-O-N-T.
Okay.
Encyclopedia of Needlework, and this is published by the DMC Library. And so that was fun too, because at the end, they have this index of threads. So if you are stitching with DMC threads, you can go back and look, and they have them all listed out for you at that time. So that's kind of cool to see as well, as, you know, to see that some things have changed and some things have not. So that is pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. 800 pages, just bumming around antique stores and found it. That's great.
And just happened to find it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's terrific. Yeah. You know, when you posted it, lots of people either recognized it or wanted one or the other, because there's lots of reactions.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I wondered about
it. I think they're not difficult to find. There were millions of copies made, so I think that it's not impossible. You just have to happen upon it, and I, you know, just, you know, happened to luckily find it just by accident.
That's great, and it looks like it's in good shape for an old book. It looks like it's not all beat up.
It's in perfect shape. The binding is beautiful. All the pages are crisp. It really is. You know, aside from some yellowing around the edges, it's in perfect condition.
That's a great find. Yay. Mm-hmm. Yay for you. Yep. Well, we're going to keep this short because we're going to not destroy your voice completely. But I did want, you know, I forget who it was that said one of the problems that they see the most of when judging pieces is compensation. And in this Cam Wensloff Needlepoint Nation thing with different hints, Cam had one of the people, Brenda Laughlin Scott, as a hint, her absolute favorite needlepoint hint or trick was when she learned to compensate with a ghost thread, a single strand of floss in a different color. It makes compensation a breeze in those tricky areas. And I'd heard of this trick where you, when you get to where you have to compensate rather than just trying to figure it out, you take a single strand of thread and make a full stitch where you need to compensate. Just make a full stitch, you know, into areas you've already stitched, or maybe you haven't, whatever it is. And then that helps you visualize where the partial stitch really needs to go and where you need to go with your thread for that mm-hmm. partial stitch. And then it's just single strand stuff that you put in there. So you just pull it out. But it's I've heard this other places where it's a quick way to figure out compensation without lots of trial and error. And I'd not heard it referred to as a ghost thread, but that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm, yeah. It's descriptive in a way that it makes it easier to understand.
Right. So I thought that was a really good tip. And I was thinking of that bobbin of ugly colored anchor thread that I used to find the middles of canvases and stuff, that would just be perfect for that. Just pull off a length and do that stitch. Do a full stitch where in the area where I'm going to do a partial, and then that allows me to see where the partial stitch goes. So, because I know compensation, particularly in painted canvases, I've read more than once people get really frustrated because sometimes some areas that's all they are is compensation, and you know, it gets tedious after a while. So, so I thought that was a good tip for how to deal with that. So, yep. All right, we're going to call it right here because you're going to lose your voice, and that's going to be it. So that's it for the midweek show and all we could get out of Christine's voice. And
I appreciate everybody's patience. I'm really struggling. This has been difficult. So I do appreciate everybody's patience and everybody, and you know, you're filling in for me when I literally, this is the best it gets. So hopefully soon we'll have this figured out and I'll be back up to full strength.
Yep, I'm sure of that. All right, thoughts and prayers to everybody in Houston. And Sunday is Arlene Cohen. We talked about everything. We went on and on and on. So that's a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Sunday.
Take care.